אתם עם SBS בעברית.
My guest today is Ruth Liza. Ruth is a child Holocaust survivor, and in the past she told our listeners about her survival, her personal story, how Ruth as a child with her parents and her younger brother survived the war. Shalom Ruth and welcome. Ruth, in fact, you and your family have been refugees for 10 years till your arrival in Australia in 1951.
Yes, well, that's true. The first 3 years started in 1941 when Hitler Germany attacked the Soviet Union and we fell under the occupation. I come from Poland, Lithuania. From 1941 till 1944, we were in hiding through many miracles and life-threatening situations and etc. We're one of the very few family units that survived, a husband and wife and two children. We were liberated by the Russians in July 44, but we fell under the communist rule. There was this Iron Curtain. My late father was born in Poland, so he was technically a Polish citizen. There was a short window of opportunity where Polish citizens could legally emigrate into Poland. If you tried to go across the border illegally, as a lot of people did, if you were caught by the Russian border police, which happened very often, can you imagine having survived 3 years under Hitler to be sent to Siberia for another 5 years or more? My father came from Benjin, which was only like 50 kilometers away from Auschwitz, and we made our way there with no transport. Don't even know how we managed to get from Vilnius to Benjin. We made our way to Benjin just to see if anyone survived. Auschwitz was just being liberated, and the survivors from Auschwitz were barefoot walking back. My parents were told that out of his entire family, my father was, till that time, was the only survivor. From a huge family, he was one of 12. His parents and everybody perished. He was told by stragglers that were coming in from the camps that were being liberated, he was told that there are 4 girls from the Katz family walking. Can you imagine, in January, in Europe, they were walking barefoot from Auschwitz to their town. They wanted to know if anyone else had survived. And these girls were 4 nieces of my father, and they were the only survivors from this huge, huge family. So my parents decided to stay and wait for them. They came and they stayed with us wherever we were lodged that time. But all 4 of them didn't want to stay, what they said, on this accursed soil a minute longer than they have to. And they were, all 4 of them were under 20 years old. And they went through all the illegal borders. They went to Italy. And from there, they made their way to then Palestine. So now these cousins, 2 of whom are still alive, their husbands were in the Independence War. Their sons were in 67 and 73. And now their grandsons are in the army, devoted Zionists and so on. They left, and my parents didn't know what they were going to do. They thought perhaps they would stay in Poland. This was their homeland. However, tragic period started again for the survivor Jews, those that came out of the holes wherever they were hidden, those that came out from the concentration camps. Anywhere a Jewish face surfaced, they were killed by the locals. Wherever a Jew surfaced, they were killed by the locals, the peasants. My parents decided after a very short time that this is no place for them, because they had 2 children. By then I was about 10, my brother was 8. Their life became again in danger. If Jews traveled on trains, Polish hooligans would go on the trains and go from carriage to carriage and look at people. If they looked a bit Jewish, they would drag them off the train and kill them. But this was late 1945, that there was a mass exodus again from survivors from Poland who wanted again to save themselves from their homeland, really, where their families lived for centuries. The nearest border that was a free country was Czechoslovakia. It was not safe for Jews to travel on trains. My parents took the risk. They packed a couple of suitcases, whatever they had already by then, some clothing. And at night, they crept out of the place where they lived. We went to the train station, got on the train, and headed towards the Czech border. On the border, there were already other Jews fleeing like us. The person who smuggled us over, after a few hours on the Czech side, the border police came on their trucks and they picked everyone up, took us to some holding center in a town called Brno, Czechoslovakia. And from there, the underground Israeli, the Jewish boys at that time, they already looked after this. They were managing already all these Jewish refugees. They took them incognito. They took everybody from Brno to Prague. And from Prague, we were again over the illegal border into Austria. And then that was already under the American zone. We joined a DP camp, which they were organizing them all over. So we stayed in Linz, in Austria, a few months, and from there, illegally again, into Bavaria, to the bigger centers of refugees, also under the American zone. We found ourselves in Traunstein, where a Jewish refugee camp was being organized at that time, camp for Jews from every country in Europe. And I said, they would like my father to take over the administration of this DP camp, which he did. For 3 years, we happened to be in Traunstein with my father, who was the administrator. So we stayed there till about 1949. We could have gone to Israel. My father dearly wanted to go to Israel. He was all his life a Zionist. But unfortunately, my mother didn't want to go. She was too tired. After all the war experience and near death and losing everyone, large percentage of the residents in all the DP camps went to Israel. As the camp grew smaller, the remainder were then taken to another Jewish DP camp. And my father was asked to go and manage with that other place called Gaberzee. When this ended, they took him to a third place called Feldafing, which was right near Munich. This is where we stayed until we came to Australia after 4 years of trying to emigrate somewhere. Finally, in about 1950, someone said to my parents that in Sydney, Australia, there is a Mr. Ziegelak who was in the original DP camp Traunstein, and he knows my father. And this Mr. Ziegelak, who was a poor glazier, he lost his wife and 10 children somewhere in the Carpathian Mountains. He spent every penny he earned to help newcomers because he was already here since 1949. We arrived here after being 5 or 6 weeks on a ship on the 31st of March 1951. And Mr. Ziegelak was waiting for us at the dock, and with his little broken down little truck, he took a room for us already in a boarding house.
Please tell us about the first few months in Australia after being refugees for so many years.
My father was 51, my mother was 41. I was 16 and my brother was 14. I could already speak English. My parents, of course, didn't know a word. So we lived in this boarding house for a little while. The parents didn't know what to do, where to go. And by the way, my parents paid for our own fare. We were those kind of refugees that we didn't come here to be a burden to any welfare society. We came at our own cost. However, we struck another bad luck that happened about 3 months after we arrived, still living in that boarding house. My mother, at 41, just slipped and fell in the room and she broke her hip. And in 1951, it was not an easy matter. She was in hospital for ages and ages, walked on crutches for a long time. She remained a semi-invalid for the rest of her days. She was always in agony.
So, Ruth, when did you finally feel that you are at home?
It took about 2 years or 3 years because my mother was out of the picture as far as work goes. I was 16. I spoke English. My father had to find something to do. Ended up in the little cake shop with a residence upstairs in Newtown. And because my mother had the accident at the age of 16, I had to step into her shoes at my father's side to make a living, to sell these miserable cakes, to look after the household, to cook, and to look after my mother, to do all of these things. My brother went straight to school, didn't speak English. He finished high school and he eventually became a lawyer. This is how our life was for 3 years in Newtown. I was now 16, 17, 18, no social life, no time off, nothing. So our beginning was very difficult, to say the least. So after these 3 years, my father decided to move on. We were able to get this flat in Bondi. He looked around and he found a cake shop in Manly. He put me in the shop, already in charge of 3 or 4 women. My father, by 1961, he retired. I couldn't work 7 days a week anymore. I was already in my 20s. In 1956, we became citizens.
But Ruth, you were robbed out of your childhood because of your Holocaust.
Totally.
And then you didn't have any normal teenage life.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know whether it's left me scarred or not. I often wonder.
What is your feeling about today's refugees?
I am always sorry for people who have to flee their land because they're either persecuted or they're thrown out or something of that nature. But I don't know how many of these present-day immigrants are those kind of immigrants. If they try to come into this country illegally in front of queue lines, so these people really are not genuine immigrants because not like we were in those days. They're taking advantage of various means to just get into the country where they're not really entitled. In my days, you had to come in legally. And there to this day, new immigrants are hard workers, achievers. The children are achievers. They are also strong family units like the Jewish people. And most of them are very happy citizens of Australia as we are. I've traveled a lot since those days and there's no place I would rather be than here.
Ruth Leiser, thank you very much.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.